Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio today. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Just a reminder, on Memorial Day, we will bring back a conversation Steve had with Lou Prado and the late Fran Fischer. That was one that we broadcast originally at the end of August of last year. Very well worth the couple of hours of your time on Memorial Day.
Yeah, that'll be Memorial Day. This is after 98 degrees, things back home again in Indiana.
It's not 98 degrees.
Yeah, same thing. No difference. No difference. All right. I honestly had never heard of them until you and Cindy talked about them.
You never heard of Straight No Chaser?
No.
Wow. They are a enormously famous a cappella group.
Okay, if you say so.
That's why this show is not called Entertainment Tonight.
That's exactly right. Thanks. Okay. I thought maybe they were like a barbershop quartet, but that's good.
They haven't been at the Bryce Jordan Center?
I don't know. I know Garth Brooks was just here.
He's not singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
You know what? To be honest with you, I used to be really in tune with everything that was going on at the Bryce Jordan Center. And that's when I worked for 20-plus years doing morning radio here in State College. And I did that. And part of that is all the general knowledge you have to, you know, handle all the time. And to be frank with you, you do get a little bit sick about telling people about Madonna news. The interest level just isn't there. But now that I've been doing literally back to where I was back in the 80s, doing just sports, I really am not as much in touch with stuff like that.
I'm just, you know, imagining you doing...
I'm just this for a long time.
Well, no, I'm imagining you doing Madonna updates. I don't know.
Well, maybe whatever in pop culture was important at the moment, because it's a different kind of audience. I mean, this audience is completely different than that.
I would have loved to have heard the tone you used when you did that.
You just do what you do. You do what you do. You try to be professional about it.
Here's what's going on with Madonna. Who cares? Moving on.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that.
You were... Wait. I understand you can't do that, but you're telling me you weren't thinking that?
Oh, sure, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't care, but when I teach class, one of the areas that I talk to my class about all the time is that you have to check your own personal interests in at the door, and it's what interests the audience that is the single most important fact in anything you do.
Yeah, know your audience.
Whether you're doing a game, whether you're doing a show, a sports cast, an update, anything. So let's take an example. Say, for example, we're doing this show in Asheville, North Carolina. Well, if we're doing this show in Asheville, North Carolina, we have to be up to date on everything on UNC Asheville basketball, UNC Asheville football, NASCAR, probably the Carolina Panthers. You might have to talk some North Carolina basketball, probably not so much NC State, Wake Forest, and you're not going to really be talking about Duke. Duke is more of a national brand. North Carolina is a North Carolina brand. That's what you'd be talking about on a show like that. Now, do I know enough about NASCAR where I can get by? Yes, I can. Is it a great interest of mine? Oh, I'll watch the Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday night. Or is it Sunday? Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Yeah. Sunday night? I mean, I didn't know if it was Saturday or night.
Right. No, that's fair.
I'll just look it up. I mean, I know who's doing well. I know that Kevin Harvick's had a great year. I know Joey Logano has been actually racing near the front a lot this year. That Jeff Gordon has been competitive in virtually every race. That Danica always finishes 24th.
Not true.
Not
true. Close, but not true.
She's in the 20s all the time.
She's in the teens at best, yes.
She's in the 20s almost all the time.
But continue.
Look, she's a really, really good driver. She's just not the best driver.
No question.
Okay?
No question about it.
All right? To be in the field, you have to be really, really, really good. To be in the field, you have to be really, really good. Okay? But she's the equivalent on the racetrack right now of what... Oh, let's see. She'd be the equivalent of, like, Scott Hoke as a golfer. Good enough to be in the field, good enough to get a check, but you're not contending. All right? She doesn't contend. I mean, when does she ever contend? She doesn't contend.
Well, she does, but then it goes away. Then she has a breakdown or...
Kevin.
I mean, not that she has a vehicle breakdown.
Kevin,
I better clarify.
Kevin, when is she contending? They don't even mention she. They barely mention she's in the race anymore.
That's very true. Even in the All-Star race the other night, that was the case.
Because she's not contending. Now, again, outstanding enough, and I mean that, outstanding enough to be in the field. You have to be a great driver to be in the field. You do. You can't go out there and trade metal at 190. 200. You can't do that unless you're really, really good. Okay, but then there's that next level from being outstanding enough to be in the field to now being great enough to contend to win it. Now, whether it's her, whether it's the equipment, she's actually with a really good team, although that team has not really had a great year. Tony Stewart hasn't had a great year. They haven't had a great year. They have not had a great year. He has struggled too. But you have to know about these things. And that's why, for example, when we talk, we've had Brian Hoke from the Yankees on. We have Yankee fans in the area. We had, we went to the Philadelphia Inquirer and had Jake Kaplan on. Lots of Philly fans in the area. Phillies aren't playing well, but still people want to know about some of the younger players and where they're headed and so forth. So you have Jake Kaplan on the show. We're going to have Patrick Chambers on today. We're going to talk about Penn State basketball. Well, they're Penn State basketball fans, and they've had, obviously, and we talk a lot of Penn State football on this show, plus some national stuff it's always going to be of interest because we're watching all of these events all the time. The Brady situation, which is, we'll have Jim Delaney on next week to talk about the Big Ten and issues with the conference TV contract. Freshman eligibility, which was at least, it wasn't going to go anywhere, but at least was a conversation starter, and some other issues dealing with college football right now. 20-hour rule, 20-hour a week rule in college sports. There's a move now in the Big Ten to abolish it, get rid of it, that it's artificial. And we're going to talk to Jim Delaney about that next week as well, because he's a part of that conversation. these are all items that we talk about. And again, you talk about what the audience is interested in. So I may be, for example, the biggest Red Sox fan on the planet. How often do I ever talk about the Red Sox on the broadcast?
Only when it's, well, something going on.
Only when they're relevant. In other words, they play, you know, like 2 years ago we talked about them in the postseason and getting to the World Series. Well, the same way we talked about the Giants last year getting to the World Series. And playing the Royals and the style of baseball and so forth. I mean, that's because it's the big national story at the moment. I'm a big New York Giants fan. Well, they're not relevant in terms of the overall picture. The Steelers are relevant in our area. We talk a lot about them, you know, about their great offense and, you know, and the canonization of a certain safety that went with the canonization of a certain fullback. And, you know,
which actually is literally happening in just a couple of months.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. I just thought I'd throw that in.
I'm just kidding. Well, you're going to do a great promotion here. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to get you a bobblehead, aren't I?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Because Jerome Bettis is actually one of the part owners of the State College Spikes.
Yeah, they're doing a Bettis bobblehead, you said.
Yes, they are. In a gold jacket.
Ooh, that's even better.
And a gold jacket to represent his Super Bowl. I mean, his Hall of Fame induction.
The enshrinement.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if the bust had a little bit of a bus underneath it?
We also talk about the importance of not having a drinking problem on the air.
Oh, come on.
We'll come back.
If that guy from New York can have a gap in his teeth on his bust, why can't Jerome Bettis have just a small bus running underneath the stand?
I think I'm going to take us to break because I believe the entire station is on the verge of being drug tested. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Putting the beach within your reach with the Summer's on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
For the month of May, buy a new Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte and Forte Coupe, or our award-winning Sedona van and pay nothing for the summer. That's right, not a zilch, nothing. That's 0% APR for up to 66 months, and Kia will pay your first three payments. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride to your vacation destination with no payments to make. Use the money to treat the family to sun and fun. The beach is in your reach with the Summer's on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and sticking more cash in your vacation fund for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. 0% APR financing to well-qualified customers through KMF. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Strike the pose.
Well, this is probably better than that Wheels on the Bus to Canton thing.
I couldn't find the Wheels on the Bus go to Canton Town. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
So I thought, I went with the second choice. I went with Madonna, since you mentioned Madonna earlier.
Yes, she made the cut today.
Someone I never thought I would ever hear you discuss. Of course, I never thought I'd hear you talk about 98 Degrees either, so.
I thought that was actually a good story.
That was a good story. That was another one of those good story time with Steve.
Yes. Ah, well. You know, but that's what we talk about in class all the time. Understanding the area you're in as often as possible. I'll give you a great example, like on this show. On this show, every Thursday in high school football season, between 3:35 and 4 o'clock, our family of stations carries games. We carry Friday night high school football, Milton, Lewisburg, Selins Grove, Shikellamy. So every Thursday, we have the announcers of those games on, or because double reason. A, it promotes the fact that we're carrying those games, but the fans in each of those schools get to hear a little bit about their team going into the game that week. That's why we do that on Thursday. Because, again, this audience loves high school football. We do a little bit more wrestling on this show than most any other show in the state. Why? Because wrestling is a hot item in this area and in the state. And if we did a wrestling segment in Ohio, for example, we would, of course, be called into the office and say, what are you doing? How come you're not talking about Ohio State football right now? And that's, you know, and that's why you have to do that as often as possible. Talk about things, you know, and again, when I talk to my class, for example, there's a really, I'd say 70% of my class is from the Philadelphia area. Some are from Jersey, some are from Pittsburgh, but about 70% usually are from the Philly area. Boy, do they know about the Phillies. Boy, do they know about the Eagles. Boy, they know about the Flyers. Nobody talks about the Sixers. But boy, they know about those three teams more than anything else. That's why I tell them you may end up in St. Charles, Missouri. And there isn't a person in St. Charles, Missouri that cares about the Flyers, cares about the Eagles, and cares about the Phillies. I said, you're going to have to check all that in at the door. Even though you love it, you have to love what they love. Simple. It's simple as that. It's the audience drives the conversation. That's why we open up the phone lines. I mean, the best moments on this show, we've had some great guests on this show. I mean, if we ever sat back and put on the website the list of guests that we've had on this show and the timing of some of those guests, you know, where news has been broken, for example. All right. But at the same time, the part that I enjoy is how when the listener gets involved and calls the show and drives the conversation. Because now we're talking about exactly what you want to talk about. My favorite call in the last 2 weeks was when we were talking about Tom Brady. And Cindy called and said that they should fine the Patriots by making them reduce their ticket prices in half. And so I calculated half a season ticket times the 8 games. Right? Well, I fouled it all up and I came up with $27.3 million. And I think it was John was on his tractor planting beans and called the show and said, Steve, I listen to the show every day. I don't think that's right. And he was right and I was wrong. That was great.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia was 11-15. And Hummel's Wharf. Big day today. It's Carburation Day at Indianapolis, huh? Pit Stop Challenge. All sorts of great stuff.
Last chance to tune your car before the race.
Yeah, great. Look, just get out, run, go fast. You have 500 miles. Be smart.
Not that simple.
Unfortunately, yes, it is. Unfortunately, yes, it is. I know you want to make it complicated, but it's not.
It's sitting on my DVR at home, waiting for me to watch it later tonight.
Why? Who carried it?
NBC Sportsnet.
Oh, well, that's good. So, how many times out of 10 does Carburation Day and the Pit Stop Challenge tell you who's going to win?
No, it doesn't. I don't watch it for that.
I mean, last year, Scott Dixon's team was number one in the pit stop challenge and the whole thing. Did they win?
It's usually Penske and Ganassi teams in the finals.
Yes, but I'm asking you if they won. If Scott Dixon won last year.
Actually, it was almost a Penske win. But Ryan Hunter-Reay made a nice pass late.
Yes, I know. Did he win the pit stop challenge or the Carburation Day thing?
No, I think they finished third or fourth in the pit stop
challenge. Yeah, see? Irrelevant.
Don't tell that to the guys that are making money on the pit stop challenge. I mean, those guys get... There's a cash involved in there for the pit crew guys.
Okay, so what do you look for when you're watching a pit stop challenge?
Oh, entertainment. Solely entertainment. I am looking for nothing based on the race itself. Oh. I am just looking for entertainment value.
Such as?
I like to watch the skill of these guys. I mean, listen, I tried it with a NASCAR tire. Now, granted, in IndyCar, there's only one big lug nut, and there's five on a NASCAR stock car. Those wheels are stinking heavy. I mean, they're doing this in 10 seconds, changing a tire, and it takes me 10 seconds to pick it up off the ground. I finished my tire change with five lug nuts in a minute and 30 seconds. I considered that a victory. The guy with the stopwatch said, "Yeah, I don't think we're going to need you this week. Thanks." I said, I didn't realize I was auditioning. I said I would have tried harder.
Orioles and Mariners delayed at Camden Yards, 4-1 Baltimore, but delayed. Top of the eighth inning at Comerica, where Detroit leads Houston 5-3. The Mets won today. They shut out the Cardinals 5-0. Phillies and Rockies are scoreless in the top of the second, but the Phillies are threatening with two outs. Arizona beat Miami today 7-6. So the D-backs beat the, as I mentioned, the Phillies are now in a scoreless tie with Colorado at Coors Field. Phillies are 18-24. They have as many wins as the Pirates right now.
They're on pace to get 60 wins now.
Well, the problem is not the first part of the statement. The problem is the last part of the statement. Why do the Phillies have as many wins as the Pirates? I mean, they're not in the same...
Oh, they're not in the same division?
No, they're not. They should not be in the same realm at the moment.
Well, the Pirates are a better team on paper. How, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, they're a better team.
I agree with that.
There's moments where they just fly out better. I mean, that's a big issue right now. That's a big issue. I mean, the Cardinals did not win today. They lost 5-0. Someone explain to me how you lose your ace, Adam Wainwright. Have a tragedy in the offseason where your top prospect, Tavares, dies in a car crash. And you have the best record in baseball and playing 650 ball. What does that tell you about their organization?
Wait, you know the player that's surprising me right now is Bartolo Colon.
He's been awful of late.
But still, he started the year, yeah.
Yeah, he started out 4-0, but then, he was the losing pitcher in a 9-0 game last night, and that's been more the norm the last 3 weeks.
But been, even when he was with Oakland in 03,
he's been batting
around. When he was with Oakland in 2013, it looked as almost like he was seeing a resurgence of his career. Back to pitching like he was with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, he's had that, but only to a point. Hey, John Mayberry Jr. homered today. Just played for the Phillies, didn't he?
Yeah, and I still say somebody messed up his swing. Man, a guy with that that's that tall, I would think would not want to be so compact in the batter's box, because I mean, it would be tough to use your legs and your size to your advantage.
He homered today. And you're just ruining this bread.
Doesn't happen enough. Well, it didn't happen enough in Philly. I know that.
You're so bitter. Everything's bitter.
That's his 54th career home run.
See? He's 54 ahead of you.
That is true. Cannot deny that.
NBA playoffs will be tonight. Game two, Golden State and Houston. That is on ESPN tonight at 9. And game three, Anaheim and Chicago at the United Center in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That series tied at a game apiece. So we get you up to date on the scoreboard here. Patrick Chambers next half hour. A lot to talk about, including rules changes in college basketball. Crown Plaza Colonial Invitational. George McNeil and Boo Weekly. It was a major subject of conversation on this show a couple of weeks ago. Look it up.
The name like Boo, I think I would have changed it.
Maybe he thinks Kevin's a funny name.
Listen, it doesn't beat Boo, okay? All I know is every time I hear Boo, it's usually meant in a negative way, so...
I'm just... The dude is up there tied for first with some holes to play.
By the way, if you don't have WKOK's Text Connect service, you did not receive this information that there is an accident on Route 15 at Hospital Drive in Kelly Township, Union County. More details are going to be available coming up here on WKOK. Mm. But if you had WKOK Text to Connect, you would have gotten that text moments ago. So if you don't have it, get to WKOK.com so you do have it.
There you go. Rory McIlroy was 1-under today.
Rory.
Well, nobody's playing better than he is right now. I mean, nobody. On a week-by-week basis, he's been playing really, really well. Now, today he had to kind of battle his way to get to under par, but he's playing really well. The Phillies have 18 wins. The Pirates have 18 wins. That's a big issue. And part, I mean, the Pirates have a couple of different problems. And right now, offensively, not going well. And again, their bullpen is not performing well. The bullpen is such a catch-as-catch-can thing. You have to be... Normally, you can lock in your closer and you hang with the same guy as your closer as to how long you can make it run. But it's the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning guys that you are hoping for lightning in a bottle, and they're having career years together. And the Pirates don't have that right now. And... just underway, by the way, and this is, I mean, I know you want to watch Carburation Day, where essentially nothing happens. Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw are locked up head-to-head today in San Francisco at AT&T Park. Now, that's worth watching.
See, but then I hear you in my head that always has this argument, oh, really? They're going to play each other? So there's going to be nobody else on either team that are going to be impacted by this?
No, my point is you have two masters of the game on the mound dueling.
Well, they're not really going head-to-head, are they?
At some point they will. It's a National League
game. Well, I was going to say it is a National League game, so they will in this case.
They will go by the faux rules, and they will just, you know, let the although Bumgarner can hit. Actually, of the two, Bumgarner actually can hit. Kershaw can't.
Why don't pitchers take batting practice at least once every now and then?
They do. They do. Okay. They do take batting practice. They do. And American League, same thing with the American League. When they know they have interleague play coming up, yeah, they do take batting practice lead like a week ahead of time. But here's the problem. This is why I'm such a proponent of, look, let's just go with the DH in both leagues and just unify the rules. And the reason I feel so strongly about that is that pitchers for a long period of time in the minor leagues don't hit. They don't hit. I mean, look, Williamsport and State College are both in the New York Penn League. State College is a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. Williamsport is a Philadelphia Phillies affiliate. Neither one has a pitcher hit. They both have a DH, even though they're both National League franchises.
Now, why is that? I know I caught you in the middle of a sentence there, but I've always wondered that. If they're both National League franchise teams, why don't they use the pitchers at the plate?
Dan, there's two very good reasons. A, they need the pitchers to lock in on pitching. And don't waste time getting at-bats and things like that. You need to lock in and be a pitcher. Understand how we do things at our level. That, okay, here's some great things that you did either in high school or, in this case, in the New York Penn League. You're talking about college. These are some great things that you do. This is why we drafted you. We're going to build upon this. Okay, now you have to add in a pitch. Most of these guys that come in from college are two-pitch pitchers. If you're going to start, you have to have a third pitch. You've got to lock in, and you have to build arm strength. You have to build a mentality that they need you to have, a slightly different philosophy on how to do things. Conversely, they want nine bats in the lineup so they can evaluate nine bats every night instead of eight. And that's why they have the DH in the league, because they want to evaluate nine bats every night, and they want to evaluate the pitchers. The pitchers are going to be evaluated on pitching. The bats, let's evaluate nine and not eight, so let's have a DH. And it's easier for them to manage the game as well. You're not sitting there trying to pull some mumbo jumbo in the fifth inning. Hey, let's double switch in the whole thing. No. Hey, look, my guy is supposed to be out there in a development league where I need to see 80 pitches out of him tonight. Okay? Well, gee, I'm gonna double switch him in the fourth inning after he's thrown 54 pitches? That's not what the organization wants. The organization wants 80 pitches. So when he gets a 78, you pull him. That's the reason why, Kev.
And I understand that, and I guess it makes sense. And in the International League in AAA, they don't always have the DH.
No, when they play in a National League park,
right,
they have the pitcher's hit.
Okay. See, I understand that makes more sense to me, and I understand it at the A level and maybe even the double A level, although I'm not sure what happens there. I just thought by the time the triple A level hits, if you don't have your three pitches, why are you there? So make sure they can hit when they come up to the majors then.
Yeah, but see, here's the part though, Kev, that's really tough. You've got maybe 3 to 4 years, you haven't picked up a bat.
Oh no, you're right. And here's the real big issue. When you look at the International League, you have Rochester, which is with Minnesota. You have Pawtucket, which is with Boston. Buffalo, which is a Toronto franchise. You have the Rail Riders, which is a Yankees franchise. There's of the six teams, only two of them are National League franchise teams. So most of the pitchers are not going to hit when they come up, unless they're in a National League ballpark in interleague play.
Right. And see, and they need to unify the rules. If you're going to have some interleague play, you've got to come up with... Look, if you decide the pitcher should hit, the pitcher should hit. If you decide to be a DH, then go with the DH. But come up with one set. And the single most overrated thing I hear all the time, overrated beyond words, on the strategy in the National League. So, oh, please. Oh, look, there's a runner on first. There's nobody out. The pitcher spots up. Oh, God, what are they going to do? Oh, no. What do you think? I think he might bunt. What do you think?
See, that's not the part of the strategy that I find interesting.
Really? Really? He might bunt?
I don't know. Or else I've got a guy on first. I got a guy at the plate. I might steal. I might hit and run. I might. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what are you talking about? Steal, hit, and run. What are you talking about? I got a guy at the plate here in the nine hole that can handle the bat. Oh.
Yeah, but that's not the decision that I find intriguing. What I find intriguing is you're in the sixth or seventh inning of a game that's really tight. Your pitcher's throwing great. All of a sudden, you've got a chance to score a run. Are you going to pull your pitcher and take a chance and put a new pitcher in, or are you going to leave him hit? That's the part of the strategy that I like. Not the fact, is he going to bunt or is he not going to bunt? But it's the, should I take my pitcher out that's really pitching well and take a chance on my middle inning reliever / late reliever? Or do I let him in and hope that he gets a hit and knocks in the run?
Yawn. That's just typical National League mumbo jumbo. People do not want to see the dude hit.
No, I agree with you. I don't want to see him hit. You're right. Okay.
You're paying good money. I don't want to watch Clayton Kershaw hit. I don't. I pay my money. I want to watch him pitch. I don't want to watch him hit.
And as a fan, I'm willing to concede my enjoyment of that part of the strategy to watch a guy that can hit.
And again, there's a rarity. Okay, let's say Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels is a good hitting pitcher. He's a very good hitting pitcher. But just because you've got one that you can cite as an example, I mean, come on. You know, and that's the instance you bring up happens once a month.
No, I agree with you. I don't. It's something I enjoy, but it's not worth the negatives outweigh the positives.
It happens once a month. It is so overrated. And look, a barnyard animal could do a double switch. I mean, American League managers don't seem to be thrown off when they go to a National League park as to how to handle a double switch. Somehow, some way, they seem to adapt like that. Ooh, oh, a double switch. I mean, overrated, overstated, I mean, without question. The strategy in the National League. Oh, please. Like, people will tell you, baseball manager, might be one of the more, why, ask yourself this. Why aren't baseball managers making $5 to $10 million a year if there's that exponentially valuable? Have you wondered why the lowest paid guy in the dugout is that guy? Have you ever asked yourself that?
Nobody comes to see the manager play.
I'm saying, who are the lowest paid people in the dugout?
The
manager
boy.
And the bench coaches. They're the lowest paid people in the dugout. Patrick Chambers next half hour.